Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Iyov Perek Yud Ches. This is the 18th chapter of the book of Iyov. And we're now in Bildad's second speech. So what we're having over here is an experience of the friends of Iyov with their rejoinders. So we've had Eliphaz's second speech and Iyov's response to it. Now we have Bildad's second speech, and this speech is concluded in this Perek. So it's 20 psukim long, and it's the entire speech that Bildad makes. In this speech, in these 20 psukim, he makes two main points, and that is that the soul is immortal. And thus, that is why Rishayim, who look like they're succeeding, are only succeeding outwardly, but spiritually they will die eternally. And that explains the second point, which is that Tzaddik who suffers only suffers outwardly, but the soul remains. That's his main argument. Let's see how it unpacks in the actual psukim themselves. The first point he makes is a more of a demagoguery point, which is the first two psukim, where he says, "Adonot simun kenitze lemilian tovinu v'achar nedaber." It seems like you just have no end to your speech, Iyov. You keep talking, which means to say that you really don't have a point to make because you keep talking. You don't have a succinct point to make. It's interesting. It's almost like he's coming back. This is a rejoinder on Iyov's point in Perek Tes Zayin Gimel, where Iyov accused them of speaking too much. He's now returning around and saying, "Iyov, you are speaking too much." Now he gets to the actual substance of his argument, which is point two, which is to be found in Psukim Gimel and Dalet. In this part, he says, "Do you think that human beings are just like animals? You think they were just like animals? We're slabs of meat that live in this world, and then they die, and that's it, and that's finished, and there's nothing left to them? Well, because of you, do you think that that something will leave the land and the source, the foundation, will be moved from its place?" Complicated as to what does that mean exactly. The Malbim says that the way it means is that, of course, the Malbim speaking in the 1800s with the science that he is just reading. The Malbim in many ways was a Renaissance man. He was really aware of the scientific discoveries of the time. He was the forefront of that discussion. And he says, you know, the earth has a core, and therefore even if the surface of the earth would be destroyed in some terrible way, the core of the earth would still be strong and would still be able to have a gravitational pull. So he's saying, you know, a human being, the metaphor is for a human being, is if the outside of the human being can be wiped off and destroyed, the inner core does not get destroyed. What's the inner core? The inner core is the soul. So it's all very nice to say that a human being can suffer, but in the end of the day, their core will not be moved. Iyov, don't accuse us of not having an inner core. Don't say that the core of the earth should disappear. The other ways of reading this as well, like the Al-Sheikh says, this is an accusation against Iyov to say that he's gone too far and thereby detached his own soul. That you removed your own soul because of your arguments. Rav Schwab says it a little differently. He says that Hashem does not leave the earth. Are you rhetorically? Do you say that the Tzur Hashem leaves the place and leaves that there is going to be justice which is not taken care of? That's impossible. So that's perhaps another way of reading this. The general idea over here is that there is obviously a spiritual domain, and you, Iyov, are only focusing on the terrestrial domain, the only on the visual, the audible, the sensory domain, and that is obviously very much limited. He moves on to his third point, and this is from Sukkim Hey to Yud Aleph, and he describes the way the Rishayim get trapped by their own problems. He's very graphic as he describes sort of this animal arriving at this trap, and it's going to reach this place where there's going to be ultimate darkness and there'll be no more light. That's sort of after death. And he describes how there'll be their feet will fall into the noose, the hunter will make noises around the side, so they'll get scared, and the more they struggle, the more the noose will tighten around them, bringing them to their death. And it's interesting, why is he using this description of trapping, and trapping an animal specifically? Because I think that he's going back to exactly what he said beforehand. Iyov, do you think we're just like animals, that there is no afterlife, that there's nothing else to talk about after this world? Well, if that's the case, you know what, then life is very much like a trapping process. We spend our lives, we have our prime, we have a good time, and then you know what, after that, slowly but surely, the noose tightens and tightens and tightens, and at the end of the day, we all die like animals in the trap to the hunter. Which means that, Iyov, you have a very depressing way of looking at life. That's the point of it, if that's all it is. Then in his fourth point, he goes even further, more depressing. And this is the main point of the Perek, which is Yud Beis to Chaf. In this psukim, he describes what life after death is for a Rasha. Very, very disturbing. Yehi ra'ev, oinoi, ve'ed, nochon, et saloi. It's going to be a terrible time. Yoichal badei oiroi, yoichal badov, bechor maves. That is, his flesh and his skin will rot away. And he will be completely detached from anything. He'll be detached from anybody who remembers him. He will live in the grave. Yezorea al noveyu gofris. And there will be this melech belahos, the king of demons, according to many, will be throwing, so to speak, metaphoric sulfur over them, destroying, pitch over them and destroying them as they go through the sufferings in Gehenna. And there's nothing there'll be left. Zichroi avad minei oretz v'lei shem loy al panei chutz. There's nothing left on the land that he lived, because there's no name left, and there's nothing left on the outside. Yirdefeu me'or el choshech, yedfuhu me'or el choshech u'mitevel yinoduhu. He's in darkness now. There's nothing left of him on earth. Lo nin v'lo neched, no grandchildren. Ba'amoy v'ein sarid b'mugurav. There's nobody who lives on in the places that he used to live on. And he describes this eternal experience of death that even the acharonim, even the later generations, were terrified of, which means he's, so to speak, responding to Eeyore saying that traditionally people don't worry about a life after death. And Bildad says, oh, yes, they do. They are very worried about life after death and their legacy being destroyed and wiped out. What's the idea of this pasuk yotes lo nin v'lo neched ba'amoy? What does it mean? He doesn't have grandchildren? A Rasha can't have grandchildren? So the Sefer HaChasidim in Simen Reish Mem Daled talks about the importance of naming after people of note. And the idea that naming after a person of note, whether it be somebody who's in the family, a tzaddik, a tzaddikus, is able to continue the legacy of that person. And he said there are some people who live such a corrupt and disturbing lifestyle that the people after them just don't want a name after them. So lo nin v'lo neched ba'amoy means to say, it doesn't mean that they don't have grandchildren. It means that nobody wants to think about them. They know that the patriarch of this family was a stingy, self-centered person who didn't care about his family and was only interested in number one. So you know what? When he's gone and they shunt him off, they're not going to be interested in talking about him, naming after him, thinking about him, making a legacy for him. You know, they might be interested in his money and his assets, but more than that, not much. And that's a very disturbing and very sad end. What Bildad is pointing out is yes, that is the legacy left by people who live only in this world, Rishayim. And therefore, their suffering is completely this worldly, and even after they die, there's nothing left for them. So it's eternal destruction, which is a very, very worrying thought. And therefore, he says, this is addressing the question of Rosh HaVetovlai. How can it be that the evil prosper? His answer is, they do prosper, but it's not a very good prospering, because they prosper for a moment, and then they're trapped in the trap, they die, and there's nothing left. No memory here, and no existence there. And that leads us to the last pasuk of Bildad's speech, which is found in pasuk Chof Aleph, where he says, Ach eile mishkanois avol, v'ze makom lo yoda keil. And the way the Mitzvah Stavot understands this refers back to the tzaddikim. But when you see the tzaddikim who suffer, that's not the same. They may be suffering terribly in this world, but understand that the suffering is only this worldly. It is only the outside core, or the outside surface of the earth, so to speak, in the metaphor. But they're not like animals. And therefore, when they come to the world to come, there'll be much left for them. It's a much more different experience of suffering. So the Bildad is now disavowing the idea of Eov that the suffering of a Rasha, or the suffering of anybody, is total and absolute in this world. And Bildad says, yes, that may be true for the Rasha, but not necessarily for the Tzaddik. This is a very powerful and a very visual perek in understanding life after death. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.